Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith here with Greg Pickle. Ask Greg is what we're doing now. It's our weekly segment. Your Penn State football questions, Penn State recruiting questions. I see a couple quarterback questions on here. We got a pretty good little grab bag for you here, Gregory. We're going to start with the NFL draft. Pat from Westchester, he's from Westchester, admits he's an Eagles fan. If the Giants draft Saquon Barkley, would you at all hesitate to buy his football jersey?
I would not buy his jersey. I don't have any jerseys. No, as an Eagles fan, I would prefer that Saquon Barkley go somewhere besides New York. But if he ends up there, it'll just be another, two games against a very good team that's retooling and now has a very good player. So I don't know. I would not. If I was you, I would probably not buy his Giants jersey if you're an Eagles fan. But I get it. It's interesting. Penn State fans haven't had to worry about this for a long time. A guy going this high that will have this much buzz. I mean, for Saquon, it'd probably be best to go to New York. Think of all the marketing opportunities there. Not to say there aren't any in Cleveland, but there's not quite what there is in New York. So we'll have to wait and see. But no, I would not be buying his jersey if he's a Giant or a Brown or whomever.
It's my philosophy that buying an NFL jersey is the worst investment you can make. In 2 years, it's going to be on the clearance rack at Marshall's because he'll have moved on to a different team. I mean, and I'm not saying Saquon in general, but for the most part,
right?
The guy whose jersey you want to buy is probably not going to be playing for your team for very long. That's just a fact of the matter. Salary cap and all that stuff, guys just come and go in football so frequently. I wouldn't buy any jersey, especially if you're an Eagles fan. I don't care who you are. Why would you buy a Giants jersey? I think that's isn't that sacrilegious when it comes to.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care if it comes from, especially for you, Greg. That would be unprofessional.
Right.
Also, all right, Bill from Philadelphia. We're staying in the Philadelphia region with a projected small class. What are the chances Penn State takes two running backs in 2019? If Sanders has a big year and heads to the NFL, then they are left with an undersized Slade and developing Brown. Boy, that's we're leaping.
Yeah,
we're leaping with Sanders potentially leaving early for the NFL. So we're going from a guy who has, what, 45, 50 carries as a two-year reserve to making his starting debut to leaving early for the NFL. There's a lot in this question that I don't necessarily agree with, but you can tell me what you think. It's
in
not about me.
In fairness, guys have definitely done it one good year and go to the NFL. It's not usually advisable. 31 carries he had last year for 191 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, look, if he comes out and wins the Heisman, yeah, sure, he can go to the NFL. Outside of short of that, I just don't think it'd be a good idea. I mean, he has not shown what he, at least yet, he hasn't shown what we all thought he was going to show, Dustin. So I don't see, I do not see an NFL trip for Miles in the future. And I think with Ricky Slade, Penn State knows what they're getting with him. You know, you can call him undersized, but they think he can be a workhorse of the future.
What are the odds after, you know, we're sitting here this time next year, August next year, and saying that both Ricky Slade is still undersized because Miles Sanders in a year looked like a completely different guy.
Yep.
And that Journey Brown is still developing. I don't think that you need to take two of anything in the 2019 class. And really, that second running back better be pretty special if you're going to have a class of 13, 14, 15, and two of them are going to be running backs. Yeah. I think to do that on need alone is a little silly. I also think that Ricky Slade, you know, he's 5'9"-ish. But if he's 5'9 and 215, 220, he is no longer undersized. He's short. A lot of guys are 5'9", and they make it just fine at the college level.
Right.
You might see fewer of those guys make it at the NFL level and be workhorses at that level.
Yep.
But you see a lot of guys who are 5'9", who can make it just fine. So I'm not too worried about beyond the 2018 season and needing to press the issue with two running backs in the 19 class. Fair question. I just don't – I don't see it.
I don't either.
Sam from York, our good buddy Sam, what's the latest on Jake Zembeck? I thought with the news that Clifford passed him on the depth chart, we'd be hearing a transfer announcement.
I wouldn't rule out that possibility, but he was just at one of the community service events recently, so probably not. I mean, I don't know. I get the impression that he, you know, could leave, but at the same time, he could decide to stay and, you know, just do scout team stuff, or maybe he thinks he can win the job. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, look, if that's going to come, it's probably going to come in the spring if he graduates. I think that's probably him and Tommy Stevens is what you're going to be looking for at this point. But I don't know. I mean, I think that most assumed he would leave solely because it made sense, but it doesn't mean he's going to.
And the other thing I would say about that is, so you hear James Franklin really not give Jake Zembeck an easy time with his public comments, right? But we do not know the nature of the relationship between James Franklin and Jake Zembeck. Maybe tough love is the way that he communicates with Jake Zembeck. Maybe this is all a carrot dangled out there in a way that isn't to call him out.
Yeah.
It's to motivate him. Maybe he know that relationship between those two guys. You know, this is all perfectly cool behind the scenes. I wouldn't use Franklin's comments as a gauge for whether Jake Zembeck is or isn't going to leave. I do think it's more than conjecture to say that Clifford has passed him by in the pecking order, though.
Yeah.
To not be sure who your number three quarterback is when you've been on campus for longer than the other guy, it does suggest that he could be slipping down there and really slipping out of any possibility of emerging as a starter in his Penn State career. That's a fact. So, but again, nothing is etched in stone, especially, you know, you still got spring practice to get through. You've seen, who was it, Stephen Bench transferred after spring practice.
Correct.
You know, when it really became clear what the future held, and he didn't like what he saw.
Right.
So we'll see. This is Ask Greg, our Penn State football and recruiting segment. These are questions for you guys. If you download the Keystone Sports app, there's an Ask Greg button. info@ksnsports.net is the email address if you want to send them there. I think we've gotten some questions there.
Yes.
Or @ksnsportsnet on Twitter if you want to do it that way. I want to take a couple questions from your Twitter, Greg. You put out a call usually every Sunday.
Yes.
For your own purposes.
Like that, you say, usually. Like it sometimes forgets. I forgot to do it. So.
Yeah,
usually, yes.
When you're on your best behavior, you send out
a
call for mailbag questions. Actually, you know, you got a good following on there who seem to like you. I'm not sure why, but
I'm not either. Mistake.
They asked some questions, and this touches on what we have discussed, I think, multiple times so far in the subject of the 2019 recruiting class.
Yep.
When can we expect a We Are Better tweet? It's been quiet for a long time.
Yeah, no, it has been. There's no question about that. I mean, I think that Penn State fans have been used to acquisitions, I guess you could say. Yeah, that's not the right word. Commitments would be the right word. But, yeah, I mean, it's been a while. I'm going to go with, and this question came from Paula, by the way. I am going to go with April 21st, the day of the blue-white game. I think Penn State gets a commitment that day.
Boy, that's people are feeling restless. And I looked ahead at the next question on the list here, and it goes right along with that. With all the on-field success and combine domination, why only two commits that are three stars in the 19 class don't get it at all? Well, first of all, let me address the combine domination thing. That was about a week ago. You're not spinning that into, you know, you're not going to get eight commitments because Saquon Barkley ran a 4.4 in the 40.
Right.
That's not really how it works. I think it all contributes to the mystique or whatever, the reputation of Penn State's program. It's not spinnable into commits immediately.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah, you think that it's going to happen overnight, and it just doesn't. In fact, it's not going to land Penn State any commits. I don't know what I'll do, but I'll do something outlandish if Penn State gets a commit, and the first thing he says is, well, I picked Penn State because Saquon Barkley and Mike Gesicki ran fast and jumped really high. That's not going to be the case, but it is a selling point for Penn State when guys get to campus, and you can say, hey, these are all the things we did to get this guy to the combine. Now, let's be honest about another fact of this, and this goes back to a different point. I'm going to go off on a tangent a little bit here. But,
oh, I love it when
but,
you do.
You know, some of these guys went and trained elsewhere between the end of their Penn State career and the combine. It wasn't just Penn State's strength program that did this. But it is good. It is obviously working, but because you just don't go and get these numbers overnight. But let's not forget about that fact.
Yeah, I think it'd be awfully coincidental to see Gesicki, Barkley, and Troy Apke all just dominate their positions. I think there's a huge amount of credit goes to Penn State. But the benefits of that and what you're selling are its development and having not gotten guys really to the combine, you know, Chris Godwin, having not made this splash at the combine, really since Franklin got here. Am I wrong about
that? No, you're right.
You can sell development as part of your sales package in the recruiting process now much more than ever. So the question, whoever it was that asked it, is not wrong in that regard, but that is a big picture selling point, not a right now selling point.
Correct.
You are talking about NFL draft. If you're looking to make that leap as a football player, Penn State right now can sell that better than they ever could before, and you needed something like this to happen. Let's get a couple more in here. Who wins the tight end starting battle in 2018? What's your guess on the depth chart for the position, and how does the offense change with the obvious difference in tight end skill set from Gesicki?
Yeah.
That's 11 questions in one.
That is.
We'll go parts 1 through 15. Go ahead.
All right. John asked that question. I want to say who wins? I don't know. It's a complete toss-up. I'll go with John Holland, and I will make Nick Bowers a close second, and I will say that one of Zach Kuntz and Pat Freiermuth are going to play. And where's Danny Dalton? We need to get that answer. We will, I think, at the start of spring practice, but we don't know right now. The other question there was depth chart for the position. I think I covered that. I mean, the obvious difference in tight end skill set from Gesicki is that none of them are Mike Gesicki. They can't jump the way he can jump. And you know, one of the things that's become clear as analysts watch more and more of his tape is that he was really good when it came to jump balls. He was really, really good. And I don't know if Penn State has a guy like that on his roster right now that can replace that ability.
That's no knock on those guys. Yeah. It's just you're moving on from a guy who might have earned himself a high second-round pick, maybe a first-round pick. I don't know. I mean, Gesicki is who he is. And just because we haven't seen Danny Dalton develop in the public spotlight doesn't mean he hasn't been developing behind the scenes. That's one thing I would say. Just because we haven't talked about him or heard about him or seen him on the field doesn't mean that he's some lonely, lost, forgotten prospect along the way. It's very possible at this position, it's preferable to not have him out in the public spotlight like Gesicki was, because it didn't go well for Gesicki for 2 years. All right, one more question here. What's up with Windsor's weight loss? Why is the starting one tech defensive tackle who's supposed to be the double team taking on Plugger? Wow. Double team taking on Plugger below 300 now.
Yeah. The question comes from Steve. I don't know, but it's pretty clear he's not playing that role anymore, not unless he gets a lot bigger in the next few months.
Yeah. And like we said, we're not sure whether that's a go back to jump forward kind of weight thing or what that means yet. So we'll find out soon. Good question. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Penn State Wrestling, talking NCAAs, coming up right after this. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can. When you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.